suggested by the Common Lectionary. And this is a time when we see Jesus revealing himself in the gospel story. Jesus today reveals himself as one worth following, and ourselves as followers of Jesus who would follow the one who is worth following. Let's pray together. Our dear God, we thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you for each one gathered here this morning. We know many are sick, and we lift them up before you and pray that as they are home, that they would know your encouragement. And Lord, that as they read in private from your word, that they would know your presence with them and your care for them. For those of us who are here, Lord, we rely on your Spirit to come, to take the words and to make them applicable to our lives, that we may follow you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be reading this morning from Luke chapter 5, page 831 in your pew Bibles, first 11 verses. And can you hear me all right? Is the volume good? Yeah. Once while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, that is what we typically call the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. The word of the Lord. So if you suggested to me that I should take one of my days off and go fishing, I wouldn't go fishing. If you told me that you knew all the good fishing spots and you had all the gear and we would just go and I could just participate and you'd get it all set up, I might go. So you could try that sometime if you want. But if Jesus asked me to go fishing, I'd go fishing. Not just because of this story, but it is a wonderful story, isn't it? We sang a few minutes ago about Jesus, so human, so divine. And in this story, that's kind of how we see Jesus, right? So human and so divine at the same time. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's a picture of the kingdom of God breaking into one of the most basic activities of our humanity, and that's physical work. In this gospel, Luke provides important details about the calling of some of the first disciples and about the circumstances around their calling, about why, how it was that they chose to positively respond to Jesus and to follow him. And in this story, we see that the people are responding themselves to the preaching of God for what it was. It was good news. They were pressing in on Jesus. They wanted to hear. They're crowding in around him, and you know what preacher wouldn't want to have that, the crowd crowding around him? Well, probably all of us preachers if it were exactly like that. So Jesus takes the matters into his own hands, and he gains some space for it by himself to communicate with a larger group of people all at one time by stepping into one of the boats belonging to Simon Peter. And at this point in the Gospel of Luke, if we were to look back a chapter, we would see that Simon Peter and Jesus had already become acquainted. So Peter was favorably inclined to respond positively to Jesus' request to let him use that boat. And from the boat, Jesus proceeds to tell the good news of the kingdom of God to our waiting audience there on the shore. But those details are not the focus of our story for this morning. The focus is to see how it was that Peter became the first disciple to say yes to Jesus' call. He was the first to make this connection between those crowds who were pressing in on Jesus on the one hand, and what it would mean for he himself to follow Jesus and become a preacher like the Master. And he learns this through the story of the great catch of fish. Nearly more fish, we are told, than their fishing enterprise could handle. And he understands that the lesson these fish are and are to be is the people he will be catching for Jesus. Well, this story is important for Peter, but it's important for all of us who believe in or would believe in Jesus, because the call of Jesus is first and foremost a call to follow Jesus, a call to simply follow Jesus. Now, Peter and James and John in this passage set a high bar for everyone who would later follow Jesus, for we're told that they left everything to follow Jesus. That is, they left their fishing business behind, left the nets, left the boats on the shore, and went off and following Jesus. They had found what Jesus called in the parable the pearl of great price. Like the merchant in that parable, they gave up everything so that they could have the pearl, and they were willing to sacrifice everything, all of their fishing business, all of their enterprise, their way of making money, to obtain that prize. This call was not to follow Jesus for their personal benefit or their personal salvation. Rather, it was to follow Jesus in the great task to catch people. Jesus assures them in their fishing they would indeed be catching people. Now, this catching, it's an interesting word. The phrase literally means taking people alive. It's a word that's used only here and in 2 Timothy chapter 2 when it talks about Satan, where it says that people may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Jesus is telling us that these brand new disciples would be taking the good news of the kingdom of people, freeing them from Satan's net, and offering them life. And this is indeed good news of the kingdom. Well, 2,000 years later, it's still how the kingdom functions. Jesus still calls individuals like ourselves to follow him by asking us, his followers, to join him in this work of the kingdom, this great work of the kingdom. And it should not be done and read in some negative sense, as if we're dragging or snagging people to come into the kingdom. Our family went deep sea fishing and off the coast of PEI one time, and my wife jigged a cod. When you jig a cod, it's illegal to keep it, so she had to throw it back in. That's not the picture we're talking about here. We're not jigging for cod in this passage. No, rather, the image of the net presents people who will come into the kingdom and follow Jesus, following Jesus into life. As Colossians 1 puts it, God rescues us from the dominion of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's, of course, hard work. It's, of course, challenging, especially in this day and age when the crowds are not pressing in to hear Jesus. But as followers of Jesus, we're still called to be out there telling, inviting people into the kingdom. Now, if we could bring up the next slide there, Peter, please. This is a painting by Raphael. And it shows one of the really important details of the story, and that's Simon Peter's response when he saw the miracle of the fish. His response tells us that he understood the miracle. Notice him bowing down before Jesus, saying, "Lord, I am unworthy. I am unworthy. Get away from me." The previous chapter, Peter's mother-in-law had been healed by Jesus of her disease, of her high fever. Peter didn't react this way at that moment. It's now when he realizes the implications of Jesus' miracle and the scope of Jesus' power that he is forced to fall down and say, "Lord, I am unworthy." And if we feel unworthy in our service to the Almighty God, we're in good company. As Peter here is reacting like others who understood the implications of their call. like Moses, who tried every excuse possible to get out of his call, like Jeremiah, who says, look, I'm just a boy. I don't even know how to speak. Like Paul, who says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, who is sufficient for these things? And speaking of the ministry that he had been assigned. But especially, Peter is reacting like Isaiah, who, when he saw the glory of God and the angels flying and the holy, holy, holy is being proclaimed, he says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. This realization of our unworthiness is a good, humble posture for us to be taking. Not in the sense that, woe is me, there's nothing good in me, because Christ has put all good into us. But in contrast to the worthiness of the Lord Jesus, what can we do sometimes but fall on our knees before Jesus? He reacts this way now because he understands now who Jesus is. Previously in the story, he addresses Jesus as Master, but now he is addressing Jesus as Lord. Often in my work experience, I would address Jesus as boss. I wanted Jesus to be the boss of my enterprise. But that's so insufficient. I mean, it's good to recognize Jesus' leadership in every aspect of our lives. But Peter here makes the important move from Master to Lord. He now sees the divine Jesus at work in his life. I would say this is, for me personally, in the role that I have with you in this congregation, it can be tough sometimes. Isn't that interesting? That's a beautiful thing. I think there's more to come, don't you? Yes, I would say sometimes it's tough for me because on the one hand, I'm supposed to be leading this mission that we have. On the other hand, standing up here and preaching about the passage like this, I feel that unworthiness. I feel it deeply, that I am not worthy for the task. And that passage I mentioned from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 2, excuse me, who is sufficient for these things? That's the verse I kept by my keyboard for the first 2 years of my work here. Who is sufficient for these things? I don't keep it there anymore. I've taken that verse away because Paul goes on in the next chapter and he says, who is sufficient for these things? He says, our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. That's my verse for the next 2 years of this work. Because despite our unworthiness, our fears, and our failures, Jesus makes himself known to us, and he takes us through them. So let's move from Raphael to a picture by Swanson. I love this picture by Swanson. I found it actually hanging in the halls of Calvin Seminary, a print, not the original, but a print of it, hanging in the halls of Calvin Seminary as I was pondering what I was going to talk about this morning. And I just think it's a beautiful picture that speaks so well of the generosity of God and the beauty of the mission that we're called into, because there's just so many fish. There's so many fish in the net, and there's so many fish outside of the net. And it speaks of the miracle, beautifully of the miracle, because the miracle was not that Jesus knew where all the good fishing spots were, right? And Peter understood that that's not what had happened here, because Peter was a fisherman. He knew where the good fishing spots were, and he knew what the right time was to go fishing. And he told the Lord, look, we've been trying all night. We've grown weary in the work. He doesn't just say we've been working all night. The word means we are tired because we've been working all night. We're exhausted. And that's why this story is so vivid, because Peter had been out there working with his hands and getting exhausted in the work and not being successful. Because sometimes the work is wearisome, and sometimes we're not successful. Sometimes we don't catch any fish. But Peter understands the miracle is that Jesus has sovereign control over the movements of nature. He understood this immediately. He understood it intuitively. And so he says, who is this Jesus anyway? But he becomes a Jesus follower. and he leaves everything. It's very ironic, isn't it? The irony is that if you found somebody who knew how to control the movements of the fish, what would you do? You'd probably ask him to get on your team. Hey, I'd like you to be on my fishing crew. That would be real good. But that's how we treat Jesus sometimes, isn't it? How he can help us. So we want to enlist him in our cause, our needs. But the reality is that Jesus is calling us to follow him in his enterprise. And they understood this. They left their boats and they followed Jesus. And what became of this great catch of fish? Well, it's like the wine, isn't it? It was generous. It was overflowing when Jesus turned the water into wine. I'm sure the fish went to very good purpose, taking care of those who needed it. But the disciples knew that they didn't need it. They knew that Jesus, going forward, was the one who was going to take care of them and meet their needs. Once I met a missionary at the conclusion of a lifetime of service. She had lived in the Amazon and worked in the Amazon for all of her life. But she told me how she came to know that she could work in the Amazon. This was back in the days when streetcars were taken in Toronto, and she was supposed to go down to the mission agency, and she went to the streetcar without even having the fare in her hands. And she had said to God, if you could get me downtown to the mission agency, then I will follow you in this task. And sure enough, there she found that the simple fare to take her down to the mission agency, and she followed Jesus on that task and was told me at that time that God had been faithful in the same way all of her life. It was a beautiful story that I've never forgotten. But how has God shown his faithfulness to you? And how does it that faithfulness, that knowledge of that faithfulness, help you in the next step? Just this week, my daughter sent us a simple prayer request, but she said, I'm embarrassed to even ask you for this because it's so simple. But the way God answered that request was just so much more than he needed to answer. He doubled up on the request, on the answer for my daughter's request this week. And she knew it and she saw it. And just to see the realization that, yes, at this stage when I'm preparing for my career, God says yes to these requests, gives her great confidence to go forward in the task that she is being called to do. But how does the understanding of God's sovereign control help you in following him in the work that he's called you to do? Well, let's look at the next picture. This is Di Buonanzena. I don't pronounce that very well, apologies. And this one takes our focus into a different area. You hardly see the fish in this picture. They're barely there. But we see Jesus and we see Simon Peter and one of his colleagues responding to the call. And they know that despite our unworthiness, our fears, and our failures, Jesus generously is equipping us and enabling us to follow him. And we see them at that decision point because Jesus is calling them and he's calling us to a great mission. Past our unworthiness, past even our fears, Jesus says to us, do not fear. Past our objections about why it may not work. Past the obvious reasons why it will not work. He calls us into trust. Yet if you say so, Lord. Literally, the words are, upon your word, Lord. It's illogical, Lord, yet if you say so, yes. It's costly, Lord, yet if you say so, yes. It's uncomfortable for me, Lord, yet if you say so, yes. I've been trying, Lord, and I'm tired, yet if you say so, yes. I am unworthy, Lord, yet if you say so, yes. Or I am afraid, Lord, yet if you say so, if you say you take away my fears, yes. The next slide, please, because Jesus calls us further into the deep. And this picture, more than any of the other ones I've seen this week, shows us in the deep, And the deep is scary sometimes, and the deep is hard sometimes, because we're far from shore and the waves grow stronger. But that is where he is working. It's where the people are. And the action that he calls us to is to let down our nets, to let down our nets into the deep, because the fish are not coming to shallow waters. Go and let down your nets, trusting Jesus for the results, with this action by us as the fisher people. And we go because the Lord calls us to go. And I don't think the application is that difficult for us here in our situation. Here we are in Etobicoke. We're on a mission. We've spelled it down. We've written it down. We've spelled it out. We've written it down. We know our direction. Who's willing to go out into the deep? Who's willing to go because Jesus says so? Let's not leave the boats on shore, expecting the fish to jump into them. And of course, we are aware of our unworthiness, but Jesus, the worthy one, is also aware, and he calls us and uses us and blesses us in the work of our hands, and he tells us, do not fear. So where do you see yourself in this story? Is it in Raphael's depiction, bowing down before Jesus, still in your unworthiness, too awestruck and even undone to pull in the nets? Or is it in Swanson's picture of the joy among the fish, the beauty and the color of the fish? Or is it with De Buyanswega, soberly considering the Lord's call upon your life? Or are you with Jekyll, here in the deep, totally dependent on the Lord? Despite our unworthiness, our fears and our failures, Jesus takes us into deep waters to reach the people that he wants to reach through us. The story closes with the disciples simply saying, we're told about them, they left everything and they followed Jesus. And that is the bottom line of the story, following Jesus. It's the bottom line of the story for us, a very simple, fundamental question. Are we followers of Jesus? Do we get up in the morning and say, Lord, where are you leading me today? Where are we going today, Lord? If a stranger walks into our midst, would they know? Yeah, these people are followers of Jesus. They want to go where Jesus wants to go. Well, that's the purpose of the miracle. That's why we're given the miracle, to create followers who will go with Jesus into the deep. Will you pray with me, please? Thank you, Jesus, that you take us past our fears, past our failures, past our unworthiness, and you use us for your great purpose. We are humbled and we are thankful. Yes, sometimes we are fearful and many times we are uncomfortable, but you've called us to a wonderful work. You've included us in your mission. You've made us part of the people of God, and we thank you and we say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are grateful for our share in this world, and we are grateful that your creation is abundant, that your gifts are so many and varied and lovely, and that our own lives are simple grace. The best of what we enjoy has come to us unearned. It has come as a gift by your hand, and we are thankful. Lord, receive the gifts that we will offer after this prayer in return, and put them to use, we pray. We pray today for places where violence is all too likely, where hunger and heartache are everyday events. We pray for those whose lives are diminished by hardship and turmoil and pain. Teach us as brothers and sisters to those who endure in these troubled places to offer what we can to restore fullness of life. Let our own lives be nothing but blessings to others. We pray this morning for those near to us whose concerns and whose joys we know. We pray with families who grieve and with individuals who struggle with illness. We pray our thanks with those who are joyful today for restored health, for renewed relationships, for fresh hope. And we pray with those among us here today harboring an unspoken loss, an unnamed fear, a quiet contentment. You promise strength for this day and hope for tomorrow. We offer you then our prayers for Hank, for Carol and her father, for Betty, for the Campbell-Kelly family, for Anne O'Brien. Because we are one as Christ followers, we join our hearts together in petition and in praise. Finally, we pray for our own lives, especially for all we are unsure of, God, for all that needs our attention, demands our involvement, but for which we are unprepared and unready. When we are uncertain how to proceed, where to turn, what to do, help us to turn to you for the wisdom we lack. Let us borrow from the vastness of your vision and insight and boundless love. Remind us that we need not face our decisions alone. Let us rely upon your guidance. Grant us discerning hearts so that we might live lives whose dignity, value, and beauty are clear to you. Make us wise enough to live faithfully as your children, as companions of your Son, so that you may look at our lives and be pleased. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in this service today. Take us and use us to love and serve you, and all people in the power of your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen.